welcome to the third session of Share Jesus Without Fear. In this session, we will again hear from Bill Fay as he shares step three of his witnessing process. You'll learn some closing questions and will discover the importance of silence and prayer. We'll also hear from average people whose lives have been so changed they have decided not to be average Christians.
Well, first of all, remember, the first thing we did was we inserted some questions in people's lives. I call it some diagnostic questions, where you could have asked 1 through 5 or inserted one of those questions into somebody's life, and suddenly they gave us permission to open the Bible. That's our ultimate goal. We went through the scriptures. We asked people to read the verse out loud. We asked them what it said to them. If they didn't understand the verse, we didn't fix them. We just said, would you please read it again? We let the Holy Spirit deal with them. When we're done sharing all the verses, now we come to a part I often say that seems to make the Christian very nervous. Now, somehow the non-believer seems to be fine with this, but the Christian's afraid of the decision or the close. Because I think my Christian brother and sister once again thinks that he has to cause the conversion. And how I have learned to ask for a decision is through a series of 5 very simple questions. The first question, which everyone's heard a bunch of times, is, are you a sinner? But what I want everybody to notice is that the sequence of questions that I'm going to ask matches the sequence of verses that they just read. So the verses of Scripture prepare the heart for the questions you're going to ask. So remember, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you a sinner? Second question, do you want forgiveness of your sin? Third question, do you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? Fourth question, the willingness to take your life and surrender it to Jesus Christ. The last question, are you ready to invite Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart? Now, there's 2 last important principles I want to teach. Whenever you ask question number 5, are you ready to invite Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart? There are 2 words, silence and pray. There's times I've often said I would really like to use the word shut up, but it's not a very nice word, but it makes a very strong point instead of the word silence. Whenever you ask question number 5, are you ready to invite Christ in your life and in your heart, would you please go silent? Because I want you to think about what's happening. The 10 or 15 seconds of silence that go by for the person you've just asked this question to, feels like 10 minutes. The Holy Spirit's working on them. The Word of God is working on them. You're fortunate enough to have intercessors praying. They're working on them. The angels in heaven are rooting for you. And please do not get in God's way. Are you ready to invite Christ in your life and in your heart? And at the moment you go silent, I want you to start to pray in your mind. I don't close my eyes and get super spiritual. I look right at you, and I can pray. I can pray, and I'm begging God for your salvation. I'm taking the lead of the Holy Spirit, because this is the most important question you've ever asked somebody, and it may be the most important question over here in their whole life. They're about to make a decision to accept or reject, and you better take it serious enough to pray.
Even with a clear presentation of the gospel, it's only natural that a person would have questions or objections. In the process of sharing Jesus thousands of times, Bill Fay has heard many objections. Let's listen to his responses.
When you ask the 5th question, are you ready to invite Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart? There are only 2 possibilities. Yes, no. If they say yes, and the yes is from their heart, guess what's happened? We have a new born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I love praying a sinner's prayer. It's one of the wonderful desserts and privileges of my life. But what I am looking for is a decision based on a heart that has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want conversion, not words. And when they say yes, and it's from that heart, I'll always pray. But how do you deal with the no? And it's really very simple. I use a very simple word called the why word, or the why principle. And I kind of stole it from the psychologist. I figured out one day you go around and pay him $100 an hour and they don't know anything either, so they go around saying back to you, why do you feel this way? And we end up paying them to tell them. I've never quite figured it all out yet, but it must work. And so here I am, suddenly sitting with someone. I say, are you ready to invite the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart? They go, no. And I go, well, why? See, first of all, I'm not God. I don't have a clue why they just told me no. So the best person to tell me is them. So I've often heard people say, well, I am not ready. I don't have a clue. I shared my faith 10, 15,000 times or more, and I don't have a clue why they're not ready. But the best person to tell me is them. Some of the other, quote, objections that I think I've heard several times that are fairly patterned are things like, well, Bill, I'm not sure that this is the only religion. Well, why? Well, aren't there a lot of religions in the world? No. There are really just two. Just two? Yes. Kind of think of it this way. In my left hand is every religion other than Christianity. And they all make two consistent claims. The first claim they make is that Jesus is not God. The second claim they make is that some effort on your part, could be diet, terrorist acts, good deeds, can get you from earth to heaven. Now, Christianity, which we'll call my other hand, says two opposite things. It says Jesus is God, and that God had to come to us. We can't get to him. Now, I know one logical fact. Two opposites. Both can't be true. Now, they both could be wrong, but they both can't be true. I'll admit that if my left hand is true, it doesn't matter which of those religions you are, because they're all saying the same thing. And I'll admit that my faith would be in vain. But I'm wondering if all of them would be as honest to admit that if Christianity is true, that their faith is in vain. The other sometimes objection that I hear people simply bring up to me is, I'm not good enough. God couldn't forgive me. I've done too much that's wrong. And here's where I love the power of the Word of God. See, I would go right back to Romans 10, and I'd have them zero in on verse 11, which says, anyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to have them read that verse how? You bet, out loud. And I'm going to say, what's it say to you? And they almost always say, well, that includes me too, doesn't it? I said, you bet. Sometimes people say to me, well, Bill, does this mean I have to stop sleeping with my boyfriend? Let me give you an important principle. Whenever a specific sin comes up, they're under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Please don't you wimp away being afraid you'll lose a decision which won't be a conversion for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it was a young girl on the plane. Her first question was, does this mean relationship with my boyfriend must end? I said, if you're referring to a sexual relationship, the answer is yes. She said, I was afraid so. I said, you have a choice, don't you? She said, yes, I want to make it for Jesus. We must deal honestly. We must deal with the holiness of God. The other one that I hear people say in this generation is, Bill, I'm having too much fun. I say, kind of the party animal, huh? A little old party and a little old drugging, a little old drinking and a little old whatever. They go, yep. I'll tell you how I deal with that one. I simply turn to the person and I say, I want to make sure that I have shared the gospel clearly with you today. And I have one last question. See, for me it's always a question. And I simply turn to them and I say, according to what you have read tonight, see, I'm always going back to the Bible for my authority. I don't care whether they believe it or not. It's my authority. According to what you read today, tonight, and let's say you go out partying a little too hardy, and you end up dead on the cement on the highway. From what you have read, where did the Bible say you'd go since you rejected Jesus? And they will kind of hesitate a minute, and they'll say, well, I'd go to hell. And I'd say, well, you just have a nice day. They'll drive carefully for about 48 hours. But a big step has been taken because they walk away knowing truth. Do I like it that anyone walks away from the cross of Jesus Christ? No, I hate it. But I will never force a decision to hear the words that would satisfy me and be unacceptable in heaven because a heart has not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give people permission that when someone is genuinely not ready, they're struggling, maybe it's the first time they've heard the gospel, it's okay. Let them go. Don't push for a phony decision. You've done what God has asked you to do. You've had the privilege of the process of presenting the gospel. I hope you'll pray for them, meet them again, befriend them, love them. But it's our Father who's in control from beginning to end.
If God has given you the privilege of the process, up to and including inviting someone to receive Christ, you may be left with two important questions. Can we know if a yes to Christ is sincere? And what about after a person has accepted Christ?
How do I know somebody's yes is from their heart? I don't. But what I want to make sure is that I have presented the gospel with integrity, meaning the use of the scriptures, making sure they understand who they violated, what they violated, the importance of the cross, turning to Jesus singularly for solution to be covered by his blood, and then turning from their sin and walking with Christ. As long as I have presented those elements, they can say yes. Sometimes I've seen yes with buckets of tears. Sometimes I've seen it with little or no emotion. But a day, a year, when the fruit is just flowing, then I know the conversion was real. Otherwise, words are basically can be meaningless. I get often asked, Bill, what in the world do you do when you see someone come to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you follow up? Well, that's one of the joys of my life, because I am a believer in the local church. I am a believer of the ministry of the local church, the purpose of the local church. And so my first concern, let's take two examples. One, I'm in my own town, and I have the privilege of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and someone receives it. Well, my first instinct is if they live in proximity of my church, of course I have a bias. I'm going to send them to my church. I love my church. I love my pastor. If they live in another part of town, I'm personally convinced that I don't want someone driving 25 miles across town to get plugged into a family. And because I think the church is an important family of God, and we need the fellowship of other believers. So the first thing I say to them is, by the way, now that you are a believer, see, this is no longer a choice, God says you need to be involved in a local fellowship, and I'd like to help you get started. Do you, by the way, have any preference whether it's a large or a small church? Most of the time they will tell me, no. I'll say, good, let me make a couple of calls. And I'm going to have a couple of pastors contact you within the next 48 hours. If I happen to be in town, I will take them myself to that church so they don't walk in alone. The other thing I want to make sure that happens is that the church I contact understands that they're not going to just call them and say, by the way, our service time is at 11 o'clock. They're going to have someone call them, possibly go by their house that week, meet them at the front door, sit with them in the pew. Because we got to remember that the church for a new believer can be a pretty intimidating place until they realize the love, the warmth, and the power of the Holy Spirit that can be present in that church. Because I don't want to see someone just make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to see the power of God as he changes their life in the sanctification process so they can begin to tell others about our Savior.
We'll close session three with some encouraging words from people who have successfully used this approach to share Jesus without fear.
I get a tremendous joy and peace when I have the few times shared my faith and actually had someone right there in front of me accepted the Lord. It is just a tremendous, like I said, joy, peace, elation, and confidence that I have obeyed the Lord. It's a sense of well done. My good and faithful servant by the Lord. And that's something that I've never felt before because I've been very reluctant to share my faith.
As many Christians are when they first get started out, and I've been a Christian for a while, and we get fed by milk, it's time for me as an individual to stand up and learn to eat meat and stand up to profess my faith to all those around me and not be so worried about what they're going to think. To be a true Christian and to express true faith, you're going to lose some friends along the way. People are going to alienate themselves from you, but I can't worry about that, because on Judgment Day, I want to be able to stand up and be able to know that I gave it all I had in this world. And I can't wait. Once I pass away, it's too late. I've got to do what I can now to change people's lives.
I understand that the Holy Spirit is the main player, and I have a role to play, but that I know that the Spirit is working in them in ways that I can't see. And it's my job to share what I know in my heart, to share the truth of the gospel of Christ, and not rely on my own strength or my own understanding, and understand that the Holy Spirit is taking my words and applying it to their life in a way that I can't see. So I have to depend on the Holy Spirit, knowing that in some cases I will say things that they won't understand, and the Bible tells us that. But that's not my job. My job is to share and to trust that God's working in their life and to pray for them.
These follow-up questions are great because they just review all the scriptures you just shared with them. And the first question is, do you believe you're a sinner? And everybody in that place that day said yes. Do you want forgiveness of your sins? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and that his death and blood paid for your sin? Well, yeah, I believe that. And then the final question is the one that most Christians are afraid to ask. And that's the question, would you like to invite Jesus Christ into your life? And that day, it was just a reminder of God's saving grace. There were three people who accepted Jesus Christ for the first time. There were another three who recommitted their hearts to Christ that day. And there was one that is, I'd say maybe he's like at a 6 or 7 on the scale of being ready.
I just know that as I read my Bible and I read what Christ has commanded me to do, that I am supposed to be, this is a journey. And just like with Bill, we don't know when that journey will end. It's kind of like rowing a boat with our back to the finish line. We don't know where the finish line is. But Christ is our coxswain in the other end of the boat. He knows where it is. And as I'm rowing, part of what I'm supposed to be doing is interacting and being available to him as I go through life. And I think part of my life is empty by two things. One, when I'm not giving out, if all I'm doing is bringing in, if I'm reading my Bible, if I'm praying, if I'm going to church, if I'm doing my Bible studies and all, and I'm just bringing in and I'm filling up my reservoir of my life, and yet that reservoir has no overflow. If it's not going anywhere, then that reservoir tends to get stagnant, and it'll, and all the things that happen there. And so I need outlets, and I need other people. And I just need to be involved with other people. Some people, though, then all they do is get involved with Christian people, and all their friends are Christians, and et cetera. And for those who are, where would I be if someone had not talked to me at one point and opened their mouth and shared with me the good news of Jesus Christ? If they had been silent and not taken the opportunity when I was ready, when God had me prepared, I'm not saying that God's plan would have been thwarted, but that person would have missed a great thrill of seeing this young boy come to Jesus Christ. Well, the same thing with me is that I don't necessarily feel called to go out and shout it, but I need to be available to those people that God brings into my life and that I have a relationship to speak to them about what is so real and is so has changed my life and makes my life worth living.
It is our prayer that God has used this presentation of Share Jesus Without Fear not only to inspire and challenge you, but to equip you as well. God has the power to take a life and remold it for his glory. We must not remain silent. There is no greater example of a dramatically changed life than Bill Fay. Session 4 will tell us of Bill's life before Christ, the people in his life who were not silent, and the change God has made in Bill. I'm Ann Holt. Thank you for joining us.